The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 8, Text 5, given by Dhanavir Das Vanachari on September 8, 1992, in Zephyrs Hills, Florida.
Lord Shri Krishna then prepared for his departure. He invited the sons of Pandu after having been worshipped by the Brahmanas, headed by Srila Vyasadeva. The Lord also reciprocated greetings. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Apparently, Lord Shri Krishna was a Kshatriya and was not worshipable by the Brahmanas. But the Brahmanas present there, headed by Srila Vyasadeva, all knew him to be the personality of Godhead, and therefore they worshipped him. The Lord reciprocated the greetings just to honor the social order that a Kshatriya is obedient to the orders of the Brahmanas. Although Lord Shri Krishna was always offered the respects due to the Supreme Lord from all responsible quarters, the Lord never deviated from the customary usages between the four orders of society. The Lord purposely observed all these social customs so that others would follow him in the future. Admantriya Pandaputrangscha Shangmeyodvava Samyutaha Vaipayanadibir Vipray Pujitai Pratipujitaha Om Ajnatimadandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Niratanjina Tasmai Shri Gurave. So, we get some glimpse into the pastimes of Lord Krishna while he was present with us on this abode, on this planet. The Lord is so kind that he comes into the material world, although he has no business here whatsoever for himself. He has nothing to enjoy here. He comes out of his causeless mercy. Yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijamyam paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkitam dharmasam stapanartaya sambhuvami yuge yuge. He manifests himself in millennium after millennium to reestablish the principles of religion, to annihilate the miscreants, and to give protection to the devotees. Here, we see that the miscreants have already been annihilated, and he gave protection to the devotees. And now he's planning to go and give some encouragement, enlivenment to some other devotees. Simply by the Lord's arriving in a place, everyone becomes encouraged. Just like the sun. When the sun comes up in the morning, everyone is encouraged. Krishna Surya Samamaya Hayandakara Jahan Krishna Nahan Jahan Krishna Jahan Nahi Mayara Adhikara. So just as the sun dissipates all the darkness, similarly, Krishna dissipates all the darkness of ignorance and illusion and unhappiness that are found in this dark material world. So when Krishna appears someplace, well, that place becomes the most beautiful, bright place. Everyone becomes very happy. We read the descriptions as they're given in Srimad Bhagavatam, especially how people became happy just to see Krishna. When he arrived in Mathura, the inhabitants of the city were all overwhelmed with attraction for him. He was so beautiful. The ladies of the city went up on top of the roofs and they were practically embracing the Lord within their hearts. He was so beautiful. Everyone, didn't matter whether they were married or not married or what their position was, he was so attractive. And not only were the ladies attracted, but the brahmanas were attracted, as we read here, the vipra, viprai. The brahmanas were also attracted to Krishna. They worshipped him with complete awe and reverence and respect as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because these were not ordinary vipras. These vipras were headed by Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva, Veda Vyas, Dvaipayana. He's called Dvaipayana because his appearance took place on an island. So Dvipa means island. Dvaipayana Vyas, the glorious son of Parasara Muni and Satyavati, he certainly knew about the position of Lord Krishna, although not everyone knew. And many brahmanas did not know, as we find in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing Krishna's earlier pastimes as a cowherd boy. Some of the brahmanas, they're called smartas. Smartas are those who follow the smriti. There are two types of scriptures or shastras. One is called shruti, one is called smriti. So those who follow all the ritualistic principles given in the smritis are called smarta brahmanas. And many times they are not Vaishnavas or devotees. They're outsiders. So, not all the brahmanas could recognize Krishna. But persons like Veda Vyas could recognize that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though he did so many glorious things, killed so many demons, lifted Govardhan Hill, and danced with 16, married 16,000 wives, had 16,000 palaces. In so many ways, he displayed his Shadaishvarya, his six opulences, in full. But still, those who are not involved with bhakti, Vedesha Durlabhamatma Bhakto, even though they study the Vedas, they will not be able to come to the right conclusion. Without bhakti, without some devotion, no one can understand Krishna. Naham prakashya sarvasya yogamaya samavita mudho yam nabijanati lokamama jamaviyam. Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita, "For the foolish and unintelligent, I am covered. I do not reveal myself to everyone." So in other words, if someone can recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that means that this person is very, very fortunate. That he has been blessed by the Lord and by the Lord's devotees, and he must be engaged in devotional service. Otherwise, it's not possible. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyascha smitatpata. The only way to actually be able to see the Lord is by bhakti, or devotional service. So Vyasadeva was certainly a bhakta. One of the great bhaktas. So great that he's considered the spiritual master of all others. And on the appearance day of every spiritual master, the disciples, they hold the Vyas Puja celebration in honor of Srila Vyasadeva, and also to honor the present representative of Vyasadeva. So, another point here is that Lord Krishna was playing the part of a Kshatriya. Kshatriyas are the second class social level. First class is the Brahmins. But why first class? Why second class? Someone may say, this sounds very too rigid. It sounds like one class is going to exploit another class, and another class will be degraded and disrespected. But these classes were based on their levels of Krishna consciousness. In general society, the Brahmanas are called Brahmanas because they know Brahman. One who knows Brahmana, one who knows Brahman is a Brahmana. Brahmaniti Brahmana. And the Kshatriyas, they also know about the Spirit, the Absolute Truth, but not as well as the Brahmanas. Because the Brahmanas, they make their whole life dedicated simply to that pursuit. They're studying Patana Patana, Yojana Yajana, Dana Pratigraha. So their whole occupation is studying about the Absolute Truth, teaching about the Absolute Truth, worshiping, performing sacrifices, and everything that they do is related with the Absolute Truth. So in this way, their opportunity to understand spiritual life is greater just by their occupation and by their habits as well, by their behavior. Because one cannot just be a Brahmana in name only. In other words, those who simply take a string that costs maybe a few paisa, some string, and put it around their shoulder and say, now I'm Brahmana. That is not Brahmana. Brahmana means he also has to have the qualifications. Today you may see in India a person with a sacred thread, but he's he may be riding a rickshaw, maybe a rickshaw driver, and with all kinds of unclean habits, smoking, BDs, and what have you. Okay. Wash your hands. So, Brahmana means clean, shuchi. And because their behavior and their activities are very pure, then they have the best chance to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to realize self-realization. That doesn't mean that others are forbidden or not given the chance. Kim puna brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayos tato asito. This means that Lord Krishna explains that Striyovaishas tata shudras yepi janti param gatim, that women, shudras, and vaishyas have the opportunity to approach the supreme destination if they engage themselves in devotional service. How much greater then if even those persons can become pure devotees and go back to Godhead? How much greater is the opportunity then for the kimpuna brahmana punya bhakta raja shayos tato, the brahmanas, the great devotees, the rajarshis, the kings, their position is even more exalted. And not exalted just because of birth, but exalted by their qualities, guna karma, and their activities. We judge a person by his activities, not just by the birth he took. Just like recently, there was one member of the royal family in Britain, and the person was found behaving in a most unpleasant way. And so it was a big scandal. Because persons in the higher royal family are supposed to behave in a very dignified and responsible way. So that's the kshatriyas. What to speak of the family of the brahmanas? That's why when Jagai and Madhai, these two sons of a brahmana, had become so degraded, it was very unfortunate, very bad for society, because they were brahmanas. But they were sons of brahmanas, but they were engaged in drinking and pilfering and womanizing and murdering and just engaging in all kinds of heinous acts. And it culminated in their attacking Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So, but Nityananda Prabhu, he wanted to deliver them, because he thought that if Jagai and Madhai become delivered, then everyone will see the potency of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. They will see that his movement is so powerful. Just as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he was delivering many of the higher authorities on philosophy and logic and argument, such as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Sanatan Goswami and Prakashananda Saraswati, Rupa Goswami. These persons were very highly learned and respected in society. And by delivering them, by giving them Krishna consciousness, making them devotees, so many people follow. For example, after Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a Vaishnava, and he did become a Vaishnava, before that he was a Mayavadi, a very dry Mayavadi. It's described that he was as dry as a dry cake. Just very dry. But he became a very blissful Vaishnava devotee. In fact, he became very much honored by all the other Vaishnavas. He wrote two verses after he became converted. Of course, he was the greatest scholar. Lord Chaitanya even praised him, saying, "There is no other scholar like you on this planet. Not even Brihaspati is as great a scholar as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya." So he wrote two verses. One of them is Vairagya Vijanija Bhakti Yogam Shiksha Tam Eka Purushat Puranaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Bhudir Yas Tamaham Papadye, which means that we surrender to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself. But he's appeared to teach us how to engage in his own devotional service through renunciation and transcendental knowledge, Vairagya Vidya. And he's an ocean of mercy, and he's a very, very transcendentally attractive. His body is transcendental, beautiful. So these are... This is the gift of Lord Chaitanya, to teach devotional service through renunciation and knowledge. And so these verses, although when he gave them, one of the devotees gave these verses that were written on palm leaves to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya ripped them up immediately, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had understood who Lord Chaitanya was. He understood that he was indeed Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nayana. He's the manifestation of Radha and Krishna together. And Lord Chaitanya didn't want this to be spread. He didn't want people to relate to him as though he were God, which he was. He simply wanted to enjoy the mellow of conjugal love in relationship with Krishna in separation. Vipalamba, seva. He wanted to serve in separation. And he took up the mood of the gopis. And he didn't want to be disturbed by people calling him God. Although he was Krishna, he didn't want to be thought of in that way. He wanted to be thought of as a servant. Gopi Bhaktur Padakamaleo Dasa Dasa Dasa. He was presenting himself as the servant of the servant of the servant of the maintainer of the gopis. That's Krishna. So he's about to depart, and it appears that he's taking with him Satyaki and Uddhava and the sons of Pandu, the five Pandavas. He's inviting them to come also with him. He's so perfect in every way. He never defaults, even in terms of ordinary etiquette. He was very friendly, and he always knew how to reciprocate perfectly. That is Raso Vaisaha. He's the reservoir of all rasa. So he knows how to reciprocate perfectly to satisfy all of his devotees. Even the non-devotees are satisfied. Just like here in the material world, we find that all the living entities are happy. I mean, to a certain extent. I mean, they're satisfied with the way nature treats them. Nature is just the order carrier of Krishna. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. So she's working under his direction. And Krishna has arranged, yes, give them this food, give them this arrangement for sleep, give them this body, give them this environment, and everyone is satisfied. Even in the material world, what to speak of being able to reciprocate directly with Lord Krishna, personally. Oh, they're completely satisfied. The gopis, someone may say, well, the gopis didn't seem so satisfied. They sounded like they were angry with Krishna. But that is part of the transcendental ecstatic emotions. They were completely satisfied with Krishna, so much they couldn't stop speaking about him or thinking about it even for a moment. And his dealings with his mother, Krishna was the perfect child. He was so loving. He was so full of respect for his parents. He wasn't disrespectful ever to his parents. We never hear of Krishna telling his parents and speaking to them in some rough way. Always very, very gentle and kind and respectful. Even when he wanted Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men to stop the Indra Yajna, he spoke so sweetly that he simply charmed his parents. His father didn't really want to do what he was requesting. But because Krishna spoke so nicely, Nanda Maharaj agreed to give up the Indra Yajna, which they had been performing for a very long time, and use all the paraphernalia to worship Govardhan Hill and the Brahmanas and the cows. Just see. Such a proposal by a little child Krishna. He was just a young boy, 7 years old. And yet his father and all the cowherd men were so charmed by this little boy's talking. Indra called him talkative also. So he was speaking karma mimamsa philosophy just to stop the worship of demigods. He didn't want his pure devotees thinking that they needed to worship the demigods. He wanted to prove that my devotees only need to worship me, and their water will be provided. They'll get rain. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is described, Annad Bhavati Bhutani, all living entities subsist on food grains, Parjanyat Anasambhava, and food grains are produced by rains. Parjanyat Yajna Bhavita Parjanyo, and the rains are produced by sacrifice. And Yajna Karma Samudbhavaha. And sacrifice is produced by performance of prescribed duties. So, of course, Krishna was presenting this idea too, that you just have to perform your duties. You just have to perform your, according to the Varnashram system. He was telling them, if we're Vaishyas, we just have to be Vaishyas. We just have to take care of the cows and perform our agricultural activities, and we'll get rains, everything will be correct. So the philosophy that he propounded was consistent with his statement in Bhagavad Gita. However, that's not the whole picture. It's not that everything is just going on automatically. There is a person behind it, and that person, of course, is Krishna, Sarvakarma Karma. And if one worships Krishna, then actually all of his other duties are superseded. Chakva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajana pakpo tapate tato yati yatrakva vavadrama buddha mushikim kovarta aptam bhajatam chadanata. This verse by Narad Muni explains that even if one gives up his varnashram duties and takes to pure devotional service, and even if there's some fault and he falls down, there's no loss. Whereas if he performs his duty in the Varnashram system, but does not become a devotee or does not render any direct service to Krishna, then he's not gained anything. There's no gain. So, the highest principle is to worship Krishna. That is the conclusion that took place in the discussions between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. Lord Chaitanya was acting like the audience, and he made Ramananda Roy, who was a householder and a pound, shilling, pence man, he was even considered to be in the Shudra category, although he was a governor of South India. Still, Lord Chaitanya, as a sannyasi, brahmana, was really in a superior position, but he took the inferior position just to show that he did not consider the externals. He considered that kiba vipra kiba nyase shudra keni noi jay krishna tattva veta se guru hoi. One who knows the science of Krishna is guru, no matter what, whether he's a shudra or a householder or a sannyasi. So his question was, what is the ultimate perfection of life? He asked that to Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was one of the greatest devotees on the planet, one of the greatest authorities also on transcendental knowledge. So he knew the answer. He started off because the discussion was going to become very sweet, but it started off, Ramananda Roy said, the perfection is to follow the Varnashram system. Then Krishna and Lord Chaitanya said, no, that is external. If you know something better than that, please explain that. So then the discussion went on, and he said, if you offer karmarpanam, you offer the fruits of your Varnashram activities, then that is the highest perfection. But Lord Chaitanya was not so pleased with that. He said, can you go a little further than that? So then he said, renunciation. If you give up your varnashram duties. Take to the renounced order. Well, Lord Chaitanya still wasn't satisfied with that. Then he said, bhakti mixed with jnana. And of course Lord Chaitanya wasn't so pleased with that either, because there were still some tinges. First, Ramananda Roy was describing karma. Then he was describing karma mixed with bhakti. Now he's describing gyan, then gyan mixed with bhakti. So he's improving, but Lord Chaitanya is still not accepting. So then finally, Ramananda Roy quoted Lord Brahma, Jnana Prayaso. There's a verse that one should just stay in his position and render devotional service. Give up speculation. Give up and just engage in devotional service. So at that point, Lord Chaitanya was pleased. Yes, he accepted. But still, you must go further. So then Ramananda Roy said, devotional service in servitude is the highest principle and highest perfection. And Lord Chaitanya said, can you go further? And then he went on to describe that devotional service in fraternity, in the mood of friendship, is the highest perfection. Lord Chaitanya said, please go further. Then he described devotional service in parenthood, vatsalya rasa. And then he had to go further. So then he began to describe madhurya rasa, devotional service in conjugal love. And Lord Chaitanya said, please go further. And Ramananda Roy said, I don't know anyone else who could take me further than this, but because you are actually playing the instrument, and I'm just the instrument, you're vibrating, you're making me speak, so by your mercy, I'll go on and speak more. Then he described that of all the madhurya relationships, the mood of the gopis was the highest perfection. Lord Chaitanya said, please go further. So then he had to describe Srimati Radharani's devotional service as the chief gopi, and this went further and further. And so anyway, this is the perfection. If one just engages in devotional service to Krishna, all other duties are included.